blind is going to drive me nuts. Sorry, I didn't pull it far enough down. So we've been going over the winter, this winter of worship, this idea that we are called to worship Christ and Christ alone, and that worship should be fundamental to who we are as people. It should not just be a little subset of who we are, but it should be a driving force behind who we are, that we are declaring God as worthy because he is the only one worthy to be praised. Amen? And we should be excited about that. We should be thrilled to be able to bring our worship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a couple things that really struck me this week. One was, I realized translators have a fantastically hard job. How many of you know more than one language? It's me and Charlie. And Charlie's way better at Spanish than I am. But I can read Greek better than Charlie. You know, I realize it's tough because there are nuances within language. Those nuances change depending on location because we do not speak the same English that they speak in England, right? We don't even speak the same English they speak in Philadelphia or in the South. And so figuring out those nuances is really tough for translators to do. And this week, I'm through my second time of reading the Common English Bible. I'm almost through. And I was in Philippians, and I was reading through, and all of a sudden it dawned on me I did not read one of my least favorite verses in the Bible. Anyone want to take a shot at what one of my least favorite verses in the Bible is? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know why I don't like that verse? We misuse it. We misuse it because athletes very frequently use it. That's how they scored a touchdown. Amen? That verse is not saying that you can score a touchdown because Jesus Christ gave you strength. That verse is not there to tell you that you can become a doctor or lawyer or whatever your goal is because Jesus has given you strength. If you read the whole section, Paul is talking about how he knows what it's like to have a lot. He knows what it's like to have a little. And God has given him comfort in any situation he's in. And when I went back to find that verse in the CEB, they translated it, I can endure all things because of Christ who strengthens me. And I was like, oh, finally a translation that gets it. Because you can't misuse that one, right? So I get how complicated it is for us to do translations. And when the authors of the Bible are translating from Hebrew into English, they have this tendency just to throw out this word praise. But there are multiple words within the Hebrew that we translate typically as praise. By the way, I have noticed I have to not use the Common English Bible when reading these Psalms because it does not translate all these words as praise. It tries to get more to the heart of these words. But typically, a translation will translate yadah as praise. And yadah, the first word we went over, that is this extension of the hands. This reminding us that before God, we can trust our Lord and Savior. And for some of us, this is a really intimidating thing to do. Amen? Because you were taught in church to do what? Sit still and be quiet. And my younger years of going to church before they had children's church or any of that. That was the one thing I learned about in church, and I had to endure three hymns. And at the end of the third hymn is when service was over, amen? 47 years later, at the end of three hymns, service is still over at that point. But we should be willing to come and to be saying to God, God, I give you, I extend my hands to you. I praise you. Halal. This really intriguing word, and this is the word most commonly translated praise in the Old Testament. And this is a word that really is, it's this unabashed dancing before God. That we need to remind ourselves, David danced to the point of embarrassing himself before God because David was not inhibited by what other people would think about his worship. He simply wanted to give his all to God. And we should be willing to give our all to God because God gave his all to us. Because just like God's love was uninhibited to us, so our worship of God should be uninhibited before Him. And so today we're going to talk about, I'm going to not pronounce any of these words right, okay? So that's my confession here. Zalmar, which is this idea of worshiping God with instruments. And Colossians 3 addresses this idea because sometimes we don't think about worshiping God with instruments, right? There are whole denominations that do not believe instruments belong in church. And yet Scripture has as a word that we praise God with our instruments. So Colossians 3, 1 through 17 reads this. Therefore, if you were raised with Christ, look for the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at God's right side. Think about the things above and not things on earth. You died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. So put to death the parts of your life that belong to the earth, such as sexual immorality, moral corruption, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. The wrath of God is coming upon disobedient people because of these things. You used to live this way when you were alive to these things. But now set aside these things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and obscene language. Don't lie to each other. Take off the old human nature with its practices and put on the new nature, which is renewed in knowledge by conforming to the image of the one who created it. In this image there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all things and in all people. Therefore, as God's choice, holy and loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other, and if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other as the Lord forgave you. So also forgive each other. And over all these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called in one body. And be thankful people. The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and warn each other with all wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through Him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for that great promise that you are making us a new creation in Jesus Christ. Father, that as we engage with your presence, you will transform us to look more like you. And so, Father, we want to breathe deep of that presence. Let it be your words that are proclaimed and heard for your glory. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, Jesus has a warning, really, to spiritual people. In the Sermon on the Mount, he starts in Matthew 5, really, with setting up these really tough standards. Standards that if we took them seriously, we would all have to acknowledge we fall short. And then in Matthew 6, he begins to talk about why we fall short. And part of why we fall short is we have a tendency to take something good and make it about us. And so he talks about, modern translations might call it showy religion. He contrasts the idea of the Pharisee who stands and prays to God and tells God how he's grateful that he's not one of those horrible other people because he's a good man. And he does it so that everybody could see him, so that they would know he's a good man. And he contrasts that to the tax collector, which in first century Israel would be seen as an enemy of the state, as somebody who is evil. And that man comes before God and pleads for grace and forgiveness, acknowledges their faults and failures, and leans into the hope that God's grace is bigger. And really what Christ's point is, be genuine in all you do before God. See, our tendency too often is to make things about us. And let's be honest, I want to do excellent things. I want to be an excellent preacher. I rehearse, I do things because I think this is important. But I do not want to do that so that you think I'm a good person. I want to do it because I want to honor God with the best of who I am. That the part of my heart that seeks this is focused on God. And I want us to think about everything we do in that manner. When you go to work, you should be working as though Christ is your boss. Amen? When you retire like Dave, you should be retired like Christ is still your boss. Everything we do should be focused on how are we praising God. And so there's that really interesting story in 1 Samuel, what Samuel was that? Doesn't matter. Where Saul, who was the first king of Israel, is being tormented by a spirit. And notice what they say. Find somebody who can bring music to soothe your soul. And they happen to find who will eventually become his replacement. And the young man David played the harp, the lyre, and he did it in a way that was honoring to God. Everything David did was this way of worshiping God, and it was so powerful that that music was the only thing that could calm Saul's spirit. That even though Saul had rejected God, God still was willing to give him the comfort of David to play that music to calm him. All these years later, you see throughout the Old Testament song being used in the worship of God. They usually use the shofar in order to call people to worship. And that's just a horn that's kind of like a bugle. And they would just blow it to announce the coming of God's presence. I've always been tempted to start service that way. Anyone ever hear a shofar? They're terrible sounding. They're loud and kind of obnoxious. But it was this powerful way in which they said, we are coming to worship God. And all these years later, Jewish people will still blow the shofar to announce the times of worshiping their God. And so we have this within our history, this zomar, this idea that we can worship God simply through the way we play music. Now, I don't really play an instrument, so it's really tough for me to talk about how this looks in my life. But I know someone who does, and I found a great picture of Charlie Grimes as a younger man. This is from his days in Guns N' Roses, I believe. So that's not Charlie, but I couldn't find a picture of him online, so I decided I would go with this. So I want to invite Charlie to come forward, and I'll get this out of their sight for you.
My hair close to that long. So. Good morning. This idea of Zamar is pretty special to me because it goes back to being in college and when God first called me to learn the guitar. As a kid growing up, I played drums in elementary school and was involved in chorus in school and church choir, but to be honest, did not have a huge interest in music, probably much to my mom's dismay. She wanted to give me piano lessons, and I was into sports too much to want to take time to sit down at a piano and learn the notes. But in college, between the ages of 20 and 21, God called me to learn the guitar. And I can still remember to this day him putting this on my heart, and I'm thinking, Lord, why in the world are you telling me to learn the guitar? This makes no sense. I have no desire to play guitar. I have no desire to have a band. I don't see the point of this. But at the time, it was a time period in my life where I was really, you know, seeking to grow in my faith and reading God's word. And I said, Lord, I don't understand it, but I will be obedient to your calling. Because this is a calling. This is not me just deciding I want to pick up the guitar. This was a surprise to me. So I was obedient to God's calling, and my first guitar was a $200 Fender. My mother actually has it to this day, as she's wanting to learn to play guitar now. It's funny how the table turns. So I picked up that guitar, and I began to learn to play, and I taught myself, and in doing so, began this journey that took many, many years, many hours, began to seek God's wisdom and discernment through scriptures, particularly in the Psalms, and over time, developed the ability to be able to play guitar. And through that, God really taught me and showed me that he wanted me to do this so that I could be developing a gift to give back to him. And this was a way to worship him through this gift that he had given to me. And so he just taught me this. And I would play guitar for hours upon time. And this was during a time in my life when I was very busy with a lot of other things, and I would literally spend 4 to 5 hours a day, my fingers bleeding, developing calluses to the point where, you know, you can't feel the ends of your fingers anymore. Just putting in this time and effort and wanting to not just do this, but to be obedient, to do it well. And as the scripture just said, if I'm going to do this, God, I'm going to do this for you. And little did I know at the time how God was preparing me for using the guitar to worship him in so many capacities, through Jess and I having a band and being able to go out and minister to people. And that seems like a long time ago now, to the church that I grew up at in Jonestown, beginning a contemporary service a year after God put this calling on my heart and there was a need for guitar player at that time, to the fact that I've been fortunate and blessed to be able to play guitar and help lead worship here in Ono for about the last 20 years. And so I want to encourage you today, when God puts a calling on your heart, to answer it and to be obedient to it, even if it makes no sense. I can tell you that was the case for me, and to this day, I'm so thankful I did answer that call. For me, the ability to be able to play guitar is truly a gift I feel that God has given me, that I simply want to work hard, do my best to develop it, to be my best, to give that gift back to him and use it as worship. And I can honestly say, whether I'm playing in church, whether when there's other people around, or in the privacy of my own home and there's no one else around, when I play the guitar, it is truly worship. And I just feel like it's an opportunity where God is pleased, where I'm able to, you know, to play this instrument, give it back to him. It doesn't matter if anyone else is hearing it. I know he is, and I want to give him my best when I'm playing. So that's my story on the guitar, and I wanted to just take a couple minutes to worship with you by playing right now. Thank you.
did way better than I would have done if I did that. And we do want to thank not just Charlie, but all the people that lead, Kim, and for Cindy, and for Gene, all the people that help lead musically in the congregation. Is such a blessing to have that talent. Amen. So, Zomar, first I'm going to remind you, worship is fundamental to our interaction with God. It reminds us that God is worthy, and I want that to be drilled in your head. You're going to be tired of hearing that over the next 7 weeks, but I want it to be drilled in your head that worship is fundamental with our God. I had an interesting revelation this week. Dee and I will be heading down the Hilton Head in a few weeks, and we invited her brother and his wife to come with us. And her brother said, oh, I'll bring my fishing poles because I'll go surf fishing. And the first thing that popped in my mind is my brother, toward the end of his life when he moved down to Florida, he loved surf fishing. That was one of his favorite pictures to post, was that. And there's a part of me that said, oh, that's kind of quiet. I'm not a fisherman, shockingly. I don't kill animals. I just eat them. And I was like, you know, it'll be cool to experience something my brother enjoyed, right? And then I was reminded of this. Right now, my brother is worshiping God. And when I'm in worship, I'm way more connected to the church triumphant than I am anywhere else. Amen? And so it dawned on me, I want to see my time of worship as this time that I'm spending, not just with you guys, but with all those people that are now in the church triumphant. I want to envision my grandparents sitting here with me, worshiping God, because that is what's going to unify us at the end of it all. We will be in God's presence worshiping, and the moments we spend together, that is a part of our time as well, with the church triumphant, and as the history would say, the church militant or the church present, worshiping God together. Zomar, to make music. This is the literal description. Don't forget, the very first week we had in the bulletins a list of the words and what they meant. If you missed that, there's still the list out there. But Zomar literally means to make music, to celebrate in song and music, to touch the strings or parts of a musical instrument. It is that reminder to us that we don't just worship God with our mouths, but anything we do, especially playing instruments, is a part of how we praise and worship our God. And I remind myself that music is a way for our souls to connect to our God. Now, I'm going to tell you something I probably shouldn't. My theology, shortly after I became a Christian, was not based on Scripture. Know what it was based on? Songs. When people would ask me a question about my faith, the first thing my mind would do was find a song that made some statement, and then I would reiterate that song. Because songs are way more memorable than sermons. Amen? I know I don't want to admit that. But it's also true. It is a way that connects our soul to our Savior. There have been many, many times in my life where I have heard a song and it just seems to connect to me in a way very few don't. Charlie, part of that montage was Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, right? Okay. Phew. That would have been embarrassing if I was wrong. And that is one of those songs that really, really motivates and moves me, the idea that I'm seeking God to guide me and to lead me. So music is a way for our souls to connect to God. And above all things, that should be our desire right here, is to find ways to connect to God. And anything that connects us to God, we should value for what it provides for our souls. And so as we close in worship, there will be music playing background, but we're going to use our voices too. I want us to remind ourselves that we can give God our yadol. We can raise our hands before Him. We can give Him our halal, that root word for hallelujah, that recognition that we are giving it to His all. We can give Him our zomar. All of it is a way to declare that God is worthy and worthy to be praised because of what He's done for us. And what He did was He sent His Son Jesus so that we could boldly approach that throne of grace and know the love He has for us. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You that You know, that gospel message, that while I was yet your enemy, while I was yet far from you, you sent your Son to die for us so that our faults and failures could be forgiven, past, present, future, so that nothing, Father, could separate us from you, so that we could, as author of Hebrews writes, boldly approach your throne of grace and to know your presence here. So this morning, Father, as we close in worship, may we come as your church on earth and join the church in heaven in singing your praises and declaring your worthiness. And as we sing those songs, Father, may your presence uplift and encourage us, guide and strengthen us so that we can be your children here on earth for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Ask me just to announce that Lou's service, memorial service, will be Tuesday, this Tuesday here at the church, 10 o'clock time of greeting with the family, and then the 11 o'clock service. So you're all welcome to come and celebrate Lou's life with us on Tuesday. Let's stand together as we close. Take my life and let it be, as we offer our gifts to the Lord this morning.
God's holy and beloved children, redeemed by his grace, go forward to serve him, knowing the God of love, the God of peace, and the God of joy goes with you always. Amen.